Gospel records the seven last words of Jesus, or phrases that Jesus had said when he was dying on the cross. And the words, last words that somebody says, they're sometimes the final thing you're literally going to say to somebody, but oftentimes there are things that you really want the person to know. You really want that to be important. And this first one is dealing with forgiveness. So I want to take a closer look, as if we were eavesdropping on this very personal conversation that God has with Himself, Father and the Son, as they're there together on the cross. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we ask that You would just melt our hearts before You. Lord, just melt our hearts. Lord, just help us to see just the goodness of Your grace, and just how much we need that, and how wonderfully and freeing that is for us, Lord. And we thank You for that, and we ask that powerful blessing, Lord. I ask that powerful blessing upon everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. It's something that's just really, really cool. If you can imagine yourself, as I was saying, imagine yourself right there at the cross. And it says, Father, it says in the text that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Have you ever stopped to think about in your life how much we spend, how much time we spend trying to figure out what to do? How much time do you spend trying to figure out what to wear? How much time do you try to figure out maybe where you're going to eat? You guys go out to eat after the service? I know some do. Maybe you get it all picked out, you know. Thinking about with my kids, when they were growing up, they're out of college now, but especially with one of them trying to figure out what they were going to major in. You guys dealing with that with your kids? Are they going to major in what university they're going to go to? There's a lot of stuff that we're trying to figure out. You know, what am I supposed to do in my marriage? What do I have to do in order to invest right now so I don't have to work till I'm 100 if God so wills to let me live that long? You know, what am I doing as a parent for kids? I know some of our kids, what am I supposed to do with this English instruction, or, you know, algebra or something like that? So much of the time we really don't know. We're trying to figure it out. So much of our lives can be summed up in three words with the contraction, I don't know. I just simply don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I really feel this true. And if you're like me, there's a lot of times when you have absolutely no idea what you're doing. You really don't know. I don't know. How am I supposed to be a husband? How am I supposed to be a father? You know, think about it with kids. How are you supposed to be a son or a daughter? How are you supposed to do this? It's really true. It's difficult for us. And in everything we do, how am I supposed to be a pastor? We don't come here with an instruction manual. None of us. It doesn't happen like that. And most of the time what happens is we're crying out from the very heart. We're crying out, I don't know what I'm doing. The only thing I do know is that I'm going to make a mess of it. And this is the reality of life. If we're honest with ourselves and we're just straight up, this is the way most of our lives are. And so I am really stoked that Jesus knows us. And He knows us very well. And He knows that we don't know what we're doing half the time. And on the cross, the words of Jesus remind us that He knows that we do not know what we're doing most of the time, because He takes the action first. He is the one that actually takes the initiative to forgive us. It's an interesting parable that I'd like to share with you. It's an end times parable. You've heard the parable of the sheep and the goats. And in the parable of the sheep and the goats, It goes like this. I'll go ahead and read it so you can hear the parts. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, all the angels are with Him. He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered the nations, and He will separate one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave Me food. I was thirsty, you gave Me drink. I was stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? Or when did we see you a stranger, and welcome you, and naked, and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And the King will answer, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of My brothers, you did it to Me. Then He will say to those on His left, depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome Me. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me. And they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then He will answer, He said, truly I say to you, as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do to Me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I share that story with you because that story is sometimes very troubling for people. And they begin to get a very... very wrong misunderstanding of that story. Did you notice the answer of the two? Did you notice the answer of the sheep and the goats? Because I missed it as I was reading it, as I thought about it more. They said the same thing. Neither of them knew. Neither of them knew what they were doing. Neither of them were aware of it. They had no idea. What one was aware of is the blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of Christ and that He is the Savior. We all do good. We all do nice things. We can all be kind. We can all be philanthropists. One group knew Christ and they knew that forgiveness of Christ and they knew that extended to them in everything and anything they did. And to them He said, welcome. Not by our merit, not by anything that we've done. We don't get this. It is by grace. The very first words on the cross are huge. Part of God's nature and His character is that He is a God who is full of forgiveness, especially for people who don't know what they're doing. Jesus is therefore speaking to those people that believe this word that He was spoken. And you stop and think for a moment, was the prayer answered? About 3 months from now when Peter is preaching at Pentecost and he shares to the people, some of whom I would be pretty sure were standing at that cross hurling insults at Christ. And he speaks a word of conviction to them and at the same time he speaks a word of beautiful, overflowing forgiveness. And they hear that word of forgiveness and it just melts their hearts. And you know that the people that repented and turned to God that day, there were 3,000 of them just from that one sermon. And 3,000 of them, they had their doors locked just hours before, fearing that those people would come in and hurt them. And the forgiveness of grace changed that whole environment. That for us to see this forgiveness of grace to be that important, overarching who we are, defining who we are, is the most beautiful and wonderful thing. And God knows that we don't know what we're doing. And He comes in with a preemptive strike and He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This is really good news. This is just the best news that we could possibly ever have. Because what God is doing on the cross is He's doing what's in 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And when we think about confession, we jump to that right away. We think, well, I remember this verse. It says, and we speak it on Sundays at times, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's true. That is absolutely true. And people will memorize the verse. They'll hold on to it. And it is right from the heart of God. But do you realize that at the cross, for example, when Jesus Christ is getting crucified, none of those people are asking for forgiveness. None of those people are confessing. And Jesus says first, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The word confess that's in that verse from John 1:9. It's good to note. The word confess is the word homologeo in Greek. And that word homologeo means homo, which is to say, do the same thing. It's like, similar, likeness. And logeo is to speak. It's a message. So what we speak is we speak the same message. We speak to God. And we say, God, I'm a mess. I need you. Your forgiveness, your grace, your goodness. And you know, if we could role play out this concept to have an imaginary conversation between ourselves and Jesus, you know, at the point of confession, it might sound something like this. You know, you have Jesus, I'm on the cross because you don't know what you're doing. Me? Jesus, yes, you're right. I don't even know what I'm doing. But I say the same thing you are saying about my life. It's a mess. I'm a mess. I really don't know what I'm doing much of the time. And Jesus answers and He says, I know you don't. Well, you're forgiven. Confession is saying that thing. It's saying that thing with Jesus. And you know, it's a fact. I mean, we do bear the penalty. Adam and Eve, they bit the fruit. And when they bit the fruit, they became aware that the devil deceived them and said, well, you're going to have knowledge. You're going to know everything. And you remember God says in just a couple of verses before that, He says, the moment that you eat that, you will die. And they bit the lie. Eve did, Adam did, and we all do. And what happens then is we stand naked and exposed, and there we are, you know, at the cross. But praise God is that He's already spoken a word to us. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And receiving that word in faith defines who you are. Defines who I am. Not your failures. Not your past. You can't change your past. Your past is what it is. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they did. But God defines us as new people, people of forgiveness, people of grace, people of love. Again, reflect back on how the impact that was when Peter preached that message and he shared that, and it transformed those people who were filled with hatred and who were filled with suspect and who were filled with fear, and it transformed that and it disarmed that by the blood of Christ. This is how He wants us to walk. This is the gospel. This is the real gospel in hearts of flesh that have failed. And this is the wonder of a new creation in Christ. It's centered on Christ. It is Christ. It's everything. And we can walk in that preemptive forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers us. We can walk right knowing that we have been set free. Praise God. That God has set us free. He's given us a new purpose, a new way to look at things, a new way to look at people. And I know that we don't always get this right all the time, but hey, that's part of the beautiful grace of God. Now, we can just continue to grow in this. We continue to be an example of this. And church, this is our hope. This is our hope as a church. This is our hope to share the love of Christ, to walk in this love of Christ, and to be an example of that. And an encouragement of that one another. May God bless us and strengthen us in it. It's a beautiful message. It's not by our merit. It's not by anything that we've done. It's just because we have a good, good Father. We have a beautiful Savior all the time. All the time. To the glory of Christ and His holy name and work. In Jesus' name, amen.